Hello, everybody. My name is Blake. I am Blake Ruby, and I live in San Antonio, Texas. And I have my show to talk about my new book called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. And it's available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. I'd like everyone to get it for free. Let me take that back. I tried to reduce the price. It was $4.99. And I wanted to make it 99 cents because it's not really about the money, although the money would be good because that can lead to better and bigger things for me. However, my goal is really to get this information out and to have a medium like this radio station with hopes, perhaps something bigger in the future, whatever that may be, perhaps even a church, to talk about my beliefs. So let me introduce myself. I was born in 1954 of two very wonderful parents who were English. My mother was born outside of London, went through World War II, the bombing of London. And my dad was born in Bombay, India, believe it or not. His father was, my grandfather was in the British Army stationed there. But after 2 years, he moved back to England. And my dad was in the British Army in World War II. He was at Normandy and Dunkirk. And after the war, my parents migrated to Canada. And I was born in Barrie, Ontario. 1 year there, and then we moved to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And then to Oromocto, New Brunswick. And then my dad was stationed in Germany for 2 years. We moved back to New Brunswick, Fredericton. We lived there from 1962 to 67, and then we moved to Ottawa, the capital. And I was there until 1971. My dad had retired from the Army. And then we decided to move to Guadalajara, Mexico. So on a cold winter night, January of 1971, we packed up our newly bought 1963 Pontiac Laurentian. Just me and mom and dad, my sister, she had moved away from home when she was 17, also living in Ottawa, but she didn't come with us to Guadalajara. So me, mom and dad, and the two cats that we had, we went all the way south of the border through the United States, south of the American-Mexican border, 600 miles south to Guadalajara, 5,200 feet above sea level. And there, I had to redo my 11th grade because I was taken out halfway through my 11th grade in Canada and the curriculum, or what do they call it? I guess the curriculum wasn't the same in the American High School of Guadalajara, so I had to redo the 11th grade. And I completed my 11th and 12th grades, graduated, moved up to San Diego in 1973, lived there 8 years. I worked at a hotel on Mission Bay, the Hyatt there, as a bellman. And then I joined my parents who had moved to Las Vegas. And from there, I joined the Army. I went off to basic training and advanced individual training for infantry, 11 Charlie, mortarman. So I completed 4 years of that, and it was a very dangerous profession, if you will. I almost got killed one time, but I won't go into the details of that. Anyway, so I reclassified after 4 years, which means I chose another job, which in the Army they call MOS. Administrative specialist, a typist. So I got my training at Fort Jackson, And from there, I went to Korea for 2 years. And while I was there, I got a black belt in Taekwondo. And from Korea, I went to the ROTC at Bowling Green State University in Ohio and did a tour there as an E5 sergeant, admin specialist, admin NCO, non-commissioned officer. And from there, I got approved to go to the language school in Monterey, California. I had just gotten married in March of 92. So my newlywed wife and I moved to Monterey, and I started language school for Turkish 1 year. And I graduated the next year in June of 93, and we were on our way to Turkey, or so we thought. However, they didn't have billeting there. There was some lack of communication, so we came back to Monterey, and I was planning to go back to Turkey. I was waiting. My ex-wife, now ex-wife, became pregnant, and I went to Turkey separately. I got assignment instructions that came up all of a sudden. We weren't expecting them, so we decided that I would go unaccompanied, which I did, to Ankara, Turkey, from June through May, June of 93 through May of 94, when my son Bryce was born. And so he came a little bit prematurely, and I grabbed a hop from Turkey and came to California, actually. What's that air base there? I think Travis Air Force Base. And so after Bryce was born in Monterey, they had taken him up to the hospital there at Stanford University in San Francisco because he had a medical condition. We found out that during his fetal development, his kidneys had not developed fully. And so he needed what they call a phlebotomy right after being born, which means they cut the skin in the back of the back in the back above the kidneys to let the urine drain out. And I remember the first time I saw him, it was awesome. I never thought that I would have a baby. It was kind of late in life. I was about 40. Actually, 40 years exactly. Anyway, it was a beautiful thing, but he had this medical condition. And then they asked me if I would want to donate one of my kidneys to him. And I said, of course I would. So I went through the testing. I'm kind of making this story a little bit short because he was on dialysis for 7 months. After 3 months, not surprisingly, the kidneys became infected and they had to take him out. He was put on peritoneal dialysis. And so when I had tested good for donating one of my kidneys to Bryce, my son, at age 10 months and 18 pounds, which is the minimum weight for a baby to have a kidney transplant, we had the transplant at Stanford University on March the 29th, 1995. And that kidney lasted Bryce until July of 2014, when he had another kidney transplant at the University of Michigan. His best friend's mother, as he was in high school, who was in high school in Oak Harbor, Ohio, donated one of her kidneys to Bryce. And thank God for that. Because the kidney I gave him lasted 19 years. And usually, I don't know if anyone is aware of this, kidneys from relatives last longer than cadaver kidneys or from just anybody other than a relative. So, Bryce graduated from high school and now he is in LA trying to be a famous actor. He's doing very well. He's got his own little show actually on Facebook, BizChat. And he gets little roles. He's just begun, so he has an agent. He's getting auditions and roles in films and commercials and music videos. Anyway, so that's about Bryce. Let me get back to myself. When after the kidney transplant, my ex-wife and I separated. They went up to Ohio. That's when Bryce went to school there. And I would visit him once a month. We got divorced. There was a divorce agreement. I went on to the U.S. Army Personnel Command in Alexandria, Virginia. And I was there from 1995 to 98. I got promoted from E5 to E6. And then I got a special assignment approved to go to Cleveland at the MEPS there for 3.5 years. And that was closer to where Bryce was, about 100 miles away. And so I was there from 98 to 2001. And then my last duty assignment in the Army was in the military group in Caracas, Venezuela. Now, some of you might know already by looking at my site with BBS Radio that I speak Spanish. I wouldn't say I have native speaker fluency, but I am pretty good with it. My mother was good with languages, and when we were in Canada, I was learning French. Perhaps I have a knack for learning languages. And then I did pretty well in Monterey learning Turkish for that 1 year. So I retired from Caracas, Venezuela. I moved up to Alexandria, Virginia. And I was very blessed to get a job working as a contractor for a company called MPRI, who works with the military. And that was 2004. I was a contractor with MPRI until 2008. And then they lost the contract. By the way, I was working in the Army's Installation Management Command there in Crystal City, Virginia. And then MPRI lost the contract. Booz Allen Hamilton won it. And I began working for them, a subsidiary of theirs, by the way, called Caliber, very good company. And then the command there in Crystal City, Virginia was a part of the BRAC. You know what BRAC is when they close the Base Realignment Commission, they close these bases all around. Well, we were in the process of being closed there in Crystal City, so our command moved to San Antonio, Texas. And fortunately, and it was a real blessing, I had the opportunity to still work the job that I was doing before, but this time as a civilian, an Army civilian. And part of the deal was to move to San Antonio, which I did in 2010, August. I drove my car, I'd packed up all my belongings, and I moved here and began working for the Army's Installation Management Command in Fort Sam Houston here. I bought a new house, which I am in right now. And my wife, my new wife, who I knew from Crystal City, Virginia, working in the management command there, for a while we worked side by side. She was an automated logistician and a GS-14. She got promoted, went to the Army Materiel Command in Fort Belvoir. But we hooked up at the Army birthday balls that we went to, and we loved to dance. And so that's where we kind of began our courtship, if you will. And so we went to like five or six Army birthday balls in a row there in the DC area. And when I was here by myself in San Antonio, and she was there still at the Army Materiel Command, getting ready to retire, the Army Materiel Command was also going through the BRAC, and so they were going to go to, what's the name of that place in Alabama, near Redstone Arsenal. I can't think of it. But anyway, she didn't want to go there, so they were going to find her a job in the National Capital Region, which is in the DC area. So I realized that she was slipping away. My good friend, we had begun actually dating before I moved here to San Antonio. We would go for walks, we would go for dinners at restaurants, we would ride the metro together. So I asked her if she wanted to marry me, and she said yes, and we got married on the 11th of February, 2011. So it's been over 6 years. We just celebrated our sixth wedding anniversary. She right now is in Oklahoma City. Hopefully she's coming back. She's been there for a few days visiting my other granddaughter. So who am I as far as spirituality? I wrote this book called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul because not only did I want to tell the world what the soul is, in my opinion, and all my beliefs are my opinion. You know, there's so many things in life that we don't have proof about. We don't have proof that God is real. We don't have proof that there's life elsewhere in the universe. Though sometimes we have to have faith. Faith to believe, and more than that, faith to know. Bridging the gap between belief and knowledge. Especially people that have had experiences like near-death experiences, which I have been studying now for many years. People have these experiences and it changes their life. Yet some people don't believe them. They think they're in it for the money or fame. But if you get a chance to talk to these people and see how these experiences have changed their life, sometimes complete atheists doing a 360 degree turnaround, or is it 180? If you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, there are fervent believers like Paul in the Bible on the road to Damascus. Here is somebody who was a persecutor of Christians. And he was struck by a blinding light. And who am I to question, you know, that happening in the Bible? Some may say it's fantasy, but I believe it happened. And a voice spoke to him. And it said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And you know the rest about Paul. I think most people know about Paul. But there's a perfect example of someone doing a complete turnaround in faith. And some people may say it didn't happen. But these near-death experiences happen to people. It changes their life. And we need to be very serious about believing people who make these claims, especially when there's a lot of them. Faith. It's so important to have. And my belief system, my reality system, is created from many books that I've read, and it's still a work in progress. Also, information I've gained from people I've talked with, material I've read on the internet. And so, around 2002, I started writing my book. I put it together chapter by chapter from all these books that I read and other information, as I mentioned. And it was finished in 2008. Sometimes I had to kind of piece things together to find out what the answer was, because there was always some detail, were some details missing with some of the information. And so I had a product that I thought was very esoteric, if you will, very spiritual. And I was a member of the Rosicrucians. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a mystical order. My mother was for 22 years. She had many degrees, and they were into subjects such as astral projection. I know there's people out there that are very familiar with that. And the human aura, reincarnation, past lives, and extraterrestrial intervention in our past, in Egypt, the pyramids being created by extraterrestrials. So I did the Rosicrucian thing for a few years, and they used to have rituals, and it wasn't for me. So, each to his own. I decided to try other things. I was into martial arts, philosophy. When I moved to San Diego, I got a green belt in Taekwondo for after 1 year. Bruce Lee was one of my heroes, and I used to kind of worship him, if you will. And then, as I said, when I went to Korea with the Army, I got a black belt there in Taekwondo. I was working on my second degree. Although, did I think I really earned it? No. If it had been here in the States, it probably would have been on the level of a red belt, as far as my ability. But there, it's kind of about money, and they push you into taking tests. And so I took my first black belt test. I failed it. That was in Yongsan, Korea. And I took it again, passed it that time, got my thumb broken into sparring, right thumb. But anyway, so I sat on my book for 8 years before I decided to publish it because you ever heard the expression, "Thou shalt not spread your pearls before swine"? I don't believe in that anymore. And I'm not saying that anybody out there is swine. I understand and I realize there's a lot of very beautiful, intelligent people in the world. And there are some that, don't believe we're atheists. And there's a small majority, excuse me, a small minority of people out there in the world who are making trouble for the majority of us, the tyrants, the dictators, the bullies. Most people are good, decent people. But anyway, I didn't think the time was right for my book. I didn't know if the time would ever be right. But I decided to make that leap and just try it. And it's only been a while since I've published it in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And if I didn't get one penny for that book, I really wouldn't care. For about 3 or 4 weeks, I didn't even know how many books I'd sold. And I just really want to be popular. I want people to know me. I don't know if that's such a bad thing. This is one medium, just like my son, a way for me to talk to people, for them to hear me, to share our thoughts. And truly, I believe that when it comes to spiritual matters, spirituality, there should be a give and take. Things should be shared. I'm not trying to convert anybody. I just want the truth to get out. And in this world that we live in, that has had so much war and killing over the centuries, and with so many religions out there, each one claiming that they're telling the truth, and let it be known that I am more of a Christian than, say, a Muslim. I was raised with my parents as a Protestant Anglican or Anglican Protestant. And we used to go to church, and I believe church is good. It's better to be a believer than a non-believer, in my opinion. Because we're all going to die someday. And I'm no more qualified to talk about this subject than anybody else. We're all human beings. We're alive. But we know how easy it is for us to die. You get out there on the freeways every day, and it's so dangerous. And we hear about it all the time. And we need to be prepared for what inevitably will come either tomorrow or many years down the road. And I address a lot of that in my book. And as I mentioned, most of this is what I learned from other people. So I'm just passing that on because I think there's only one truth, and that's universal truth. The Bible is very near and dear to my heart. It's also a very controversial subject. Some people put their entire faith into the Bible. They believe every word. Me, I don't. I believe in, let's say, most of the Bible. But would I be, or should I be persecuted for not being 100% Christian, if you will, or believing in all of the scriptures? You know, it's kind of ironic that I'm a member of a church, a gospel service at the chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. I sing in the choir, and tomorrow I'm giving the scripture reading. And we usually have about 150, 200 people in the congregation. And tomorrow I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It goes like this. All the scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that every servant of God may do good work. I forgot the rest of it. Anyway, I need to look at it again. I've been practicing it. My point is, I'm going to say that, but I believe it. But then again, even though the scripture is God-breathed, and I know that there was divine intervention going on there in the past, people who were inspired to write the Bible, divine intervention like never before in our history. Still, with all the rewritings and the interpretations, some facts were miscued and some details left out. So I was actually a member of a church in Cleveland, Ohio, called the Church of Christ for 2 years. And there they let you have your own personal interpretation of the Bible. And I thought that was good. But let me tell you, because I'm going to, later on, I don't know about today, invite some calls. I have my show every other week, every 2 weeks. I don't want to get into an argument with anybody about Christianity and the Bible, because I know it's a good thing. My wife, she converted to Catholicism. And I know some people are very traditional and they're very inside the box kind of thinking, no deviation. But I'm a outside the box thinker. I'm a philosopher. I studied philosophy in college. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in liberal arts. That was one of my good accomplishments. It took me 23 years to get it. I went to a junior college after graduating from high school in Guadalajara, Mesa College in San Diego. And with my training in the Army, I got enough credits to get a BS in liberal arts from Excelsior College in 1996, 23 years after. But I got it done. And then I took a couple of graduate courses in high school education. I was going to be a teacher, but then I changed my mind about that. But I got an A in both classes. So I could debate with Christians the very traditional type, but I don't want to get into it. I don't want to say anything negative. I want to be positive and upbeat about spirituality. And there's so much I'd like to share with people that's in my book. I'm going to tell you some things that might shock some people. You might have thought about this before. I have 31 chapters in my book, and there's 84 pages. Among other things, and there's many things, I talk about the sun being heaven. But one question that people might have in their minds is, well, with so many suns out there, how could there be so many heavens? Well, my answer to that is, we are human beings. I believe out there in the universe, and it's a very big place, there's life, teeming life, other species. You've heard about them. I know that there's a show on PBS Radio that talks about UFOs. I have, and I say this humbly, I have some very good information about extraterrestrials, books that I've read, alien abductions, people, as I mentioned, who have been abducted by aliens, taken to their planet, and have learned many things. Again, some people might not believe that, call them quacks and just trying to make some money. So there will always be those people that take the opposite side of stories. If you watch a football game and you have two teams, if I take one team, maybe my wife might take the other team. There's that competition going on always in our lives, isn't there? But the reason I say the sun is heaven is because in our human bodies, there's a spirit. And I don't think too many people would believe otherwise. I think most people recognize that there is life after death, and the spirit survives physical death. And that spirit resembles our physical body. And when we die, it comes out. This is what I've learned. And that spirit. Hey, my dog. Hey, shh. All right, little dachshund. We've got four dogs, a black lab, an American Pit Bull Terrier, a smooth fox terrier. The terriers are females. That dog there, I think you might have heard, is a dachshund male. Mr. Beta is his name. Shaka, our black lab, he's upstairs. Anyway, so the spirit, the human spirit, is made of light energy. It's real. When we dream at night, our spirit, or otherwise known as our astral body, leaves our physical body and travels to other dimensions, the spiritual realm. I'll talk more about that later. But the spirit is made of light energy. I think most people have heard of people when they die going to hell, right? And burning in lake fire. Was it so impossible to imagine that if the spirit that leaves the body and goes and burns in hell and can withstand that fire, apparently tormented, and I'll talk more about hell later. Is it so impossible to imagine that same spirit could withstand the nuclear fire of the sun? But the sun is more than just a heavenly body providing heat and light to our planet. It's the matrix of our solar system. And how many of you knew that the same energy that heats our world and lights up our world also rotates and revolves the planets and the moons. Well, I don't know so much about the planets, but I'm not sure about the moons, because I would say so. Let me remind you that I'm still a work in progress and I don't have all the answers, but I keep an open mind. I know that the moons work by gravity. And as Einstein said in his theory of general relativity, gravity is like a fabric, the fabric of space. And in his theory of special relativity, he said E equals E mc squared, and the speed of light remains constant whether or not an observer is in motion. Einstein is one of my heroes, if you will. I'm very interested in the work of Einstein, and I have studied him a lot, saw a lot of videos about him. But let me get back to the sun being heaven. And I have other reasons for saying that too. But I can talk more about that later. But consider this. There's so much talk about a father god. My contention is that there is also a mother god, that the original creator of the universe, the supreme creator who initiated the Big Bang approximately 15 billion light years ago, is both male and female. So before the universe, the physical universe, was brought into existence, nothing existed except for silence and darkness. And because the creator, I call him the great original creator, wanted to find a way to expand and grow. He thought of the creator thought of everything that will be and brought it into existence by the power of God's will. And so the first solar system was formed with the first sun, the great central sun of the universe. And then, because space is infinite, one solar system was formed after another, and then one galaxy after another. And look where we are right now, in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. So is it hard to believe that there is life out there? We're kind of like in a Copernican gap right now. Remember the way the world used to think? People just like you and I, approximately 500 years ago, they thought the Earth was the center of the universe. We are stuck right now. We don't have any concrete evidence that these extraterrestrials exist out there. I believe there's thousands and thousands of them. And so I believe that the sun being the matrix of the solar system, if you look inside that nuclear fire, you'll see a world of light, of spirit matter. And this world that we live in here, planet Earth, is physical matter. But physical matter can't be created without coming from spirit matter. Or let me rephrase that. Physical matter is created from spiritual matter. Our world, our planet, is like, compared to the sun, heaven, the spiritual realm, the spirit world, it's like the negative part of a Polaroid print, whereas the real picture is like heaven. That's what I learned, and that's what I believe. And there you have a beautiful, beautiful world where the light is so bright and the colors amazingly intense. And there is trees, there are trees, and there's mountains, there are mountains, and there's water. There are trees of life, and there is fruit, and there's vegetables, beautiful fields. And there also is the holy city. And inside the holy city, and by the way, the pearly gates are real, and there's angels everywhere, and there's chariots transporting people. It's a beautiful dimension, if you will. And we will go there, I believe, eventually. Maybe not everyone, because this world that we live in is like a school, and the intent and objective is to graduate. Some people don't. You have murderers, people who commit murder, maybe physical, sexual abuse, people that don't believe in God. They won't go to heaven, but God does not damn us for eternity, in my opinion. Our spirit mother and father in heaven, the creators of our soul and spirit, and I'll talk more about the process of how they create a soul and a spirit there in the heavenly realms. In their throne, which does exist, surrounded by angels, many beautiful angels. I'll talk about all the different types of angels later. And that awaits us, a beautiful, beautiful place where we will be amidst all the patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, people from all cultures, from all eras in the lifetime of this planet, there in the spirit. And there is joy and happiness with no pain. But we are here to learn here on Earth. Earth is a category one planet, a planet of the lowest evolutionary category, which means that we are here to learn basic social values. It's a new planet. We are a young species. Remember how many of you, I don't know, who saw the Transformers movie, the first one, where Optimus Prime says they are a young species, but we too much different than they were. I forget what else he said. They wanted to help us because we are a young species, except for some who are well-traveled ancient souls. Am I one? I don't know. Perhaps. I guess it doesn't make any difference if I am or not. And so you have these kind of beginner souls, if you will, in worlds like this. And that's why there's been so much war and killing, and still is. And so I'm getting close to the end of my time. I don't know if any of you have taken a look at my book. There's a lot of different chapters. Besides talking a little bit about our spirit parents, I'll go into more detail of them later. They, I'll tell you this, I believe, were like us at one time. Souls on evolutionary journeys, well-traveled, who have lived many lifetimes, reincarnated, working out their karmic debts, learning to love, forgiving. And that's something that we need to do too. We mustn't forget that today could be our last day. And I know this. As I mentioned, I almost got killed one time. It was very close. I won't go into the details. And we know that approximately every day around the world, thousands of people are dying, and thousands more being born too. So some of the other chapters are the highest heaven. That is the sun, I believe. And you have the other suns in the universe and other solar systems and other galaxies. And they are the place where the species of the planets of that solar system, which are indigenous to their planet, where they go to when they transition from their physical life. So I also talk about the lowest heaven, which I believe is above the clouds, for those who aren't prepared yet to withstand the glory and the brilliance of the real heaven where we came from. I believe that we existed prior to being born. Yes, that we did come from heaven. And our goal is to make it back. And we were given a mission. I believe every single person in the world, to include myself, at one time in our pre-existence, was brought up before our Creator and talked personally to about what our mission on the in Earth, in life would be. And so we're going back there eventually. No soul is damned for eternity, in my opinion. We will all be saved. People that commit suicide. And one book that I remember on that subject, Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore, talks about her suicide experience, and what she went through was incredible. And she came face to face with God. She was so close to dying, but she met the Creator of her soul and spirit. And he asked her, "Is that what you really want?" And he was angry. I think if you were the father or mother of many spirit children, and one of them wanted to take their life, I think I would be upset, especially since we know that life is supposed to be hard. That's how we learn. Going back to the categories of planets, Earth being a category one on a category scale of 1 to 9, whereas 9 is the most evolved, a book I read, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, talks about a planet called Thyuba, which has an atmosphere that is gold dust filled, beautiful, pristine waters, life that there that doesn't eat each other, you know, like here on Earth. No killing going on, everything living in compatibility, beautiful vegetation, trees, 200 foot tall trees, and the humans that live there are hermaphrodite, approximately 9 feet tall. And in our Milky Way galaxy, apparently one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced. And their spaceship can travel several times the speed of light, go interdimensional. Very interesting book. My Bible, if you will, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, written by Michael Desmarquette, who says he was abducted for 10 days and taken to their planet. And he is a very neat author. I enjoyed and sometimes still do read the book over again. I've read it several times. He is a very funny guy, very pleasant to read, if you know what I mean. So we're here to accomplish our mission that God gave us, and learn from the darkness. Have you ever thought about that this planet is rotating on its axis and we get darkness for like half a day? Reminds me of the song. I'm a singer, by the way. I have videos on YouTube. I'm an accomplished singer, and I go to the Wounded Warriors on Fort Sam Houston once a month. I've been doing it for almost 4 years and sing for them for an hour and a half. And I've got a repertoire of about 150 songs. One song is reminds me of what I was talking about by, what's his name? Wonderful World, Louis Armstrong. the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And why is that so? Why is there nighttime? Because we are to learn from the darkness. Because as spirits of light, one of the reasons we're here is to increase our light. That's part of God's plan also. And space, darkness, when we look up there in the evening sky, have you ever considered this? That is a manufactured reality. It was made by God. And as Einstein said, space is a fabric. It's dark matter and dark energy. It's manufactured. It's not real in a way, if you understand what I mean. It's all part of the original creator's great plan. And we're just along for the ride, you know, so we might as well enjoy it. I've only got a few minutes left. So in the next show, in 2 weeks, I'll talk about reincarnation and Jesus Christ, who he was. Some of you may be surprised to hear what I've got to say about Jesus. A fly just went in my mouth. A little fruit fly or something. So I'll take a drink of water. Now, don't get me wrong, because when we get to heaven, Jesus will be one of the spirits that we meet. And he is a very highly esteemed spirit in heaven. Number 3 in the ranking, if you will. Well, let me put it this way. I believe in the spirit mother and father in heaven. And you have all these great patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, and then you have Jesus. And anyway, so I'll talk more about him. I'll talk more about the categories of planets, the 4 forces of the universe, Mother Earth, Mother Gaia, the different types of extraterrestrials I'm familiar with. I don't know if I can get to other subjects such as our pre-existence, telepathy, dreams, sin. What is sin? The life review, what you can expect when we die, what we can expect when we die, the different types of life reviews, the human aura, prayer, a sample prayer, more about suicides, harmful impressions, you know, like we watch on TV, and I'm guilty of this myself, seeing violent movies. You know, Hollywood kicks out all these violent movies. That's just fantasy, but when the real thing happens, oh my God. You know what I mean? That's wrong. We need to change that, you know? We need to start growing and evolving. And I'm going to do my part, you know? I know there's a lot of other people out there doing great and wonderful things. And, you know, I love you for that. Love is going to make the difference. I'll give you a talk with you a little bit about my poems that I've done. Some friendly tips, biblical misinterpretations. I'll give you some of my references, and there's another chapter called Herculobus about a planet that may be coming our way that could tilt the Earth on its axis and just destroy our planet. It's happened before in the past, apparently, but more about that later. So I'm just about reached my limit now, I think. It's 8:55 San Antonio time. And I know I didn't take a break. I didn't get any calls today. Maybe next time. I'll take some calls. And so now I'm waiting for BBS to tell me when to stop. I'll just keep going.
About one minute.
I got the 1 minute notification. And by the way, I also practice yoga. I took a couple of courses in college in transcendental meditation. I took that. My parents, when they died, they were 81. They passed away in 99. And I know they're in the spirit and soul and the spiritual realm. And I love them. May God bless them. Bless their souls. May God bless all of you. May God bless us, everyone. Like Tiny Tim said, right, in the Christmas Carol. May God bless us, everyone. Say that prayer. More often, please. And so, thank you all for listening. Those of you that are out there. And take care, and I hope to, God willing, be back 2 weeks from today. And that's it. Lots of love.